So how was everybody's week?
Good.
Good, great. Is it encouraging? Not encouraging? Was this week encouraging? Would silence when I asked that. That's like, uh-oh. Has there been has there been a scripture that's been, that the Lord's really been pressing on your heart? That one? Has there been a word that God's been speaking to you this week? Do we expect God to speak to us when we open up His Word? I heard one yes. I hear a couple S's. Do you know when God speaks to us on a personal level, it's a rhema word, it's a personal word that He desires to share and illuminate His living Word to us. Because when we know that God's, when we hear God's voice, does that not encourage us?
Yes.
And then usually what does that happen when somebody encourages you? Do you want to know them more?
Yeah, you're motivated.
You're motivated. So how is God motivating you this week? To get out of your comfort zone. That's good. So that we're desiring to grow. I know last week we talked about what is the will of God for His children? What's the will of God for His children?
His Word.
His Word? Yeah. I don't mind that. So what's the first thing that God wants us to know? Mark 12:30. This is the will of God. Mark 12:30 says, "And you shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And this is the first commandment. This is what the will of God is, that His children would fall in love with Him, that we would know Him, know His heart, and then we would know Him with all our soul. So every fabric of our being, that we would desire Him. Because have you ever met somebody who's on fire for the Lord? How has that affected your life? When somebody's on fire for the Lord, you're like, wow, man, I want to be like that. How did you become so passionate and so in love with the Lord? And they say, you know what? I spent time in prayer. I spent time being intentional with my time with the Lord. I think during this whole time that we're in, it's been given us the opportunity to actually slow down and to spend and be intentional with the Lord. Because we can't really do much. And I believe God is waking the church. Because He wants to come back to a church that is ready for Him. He doesn't want a church that's like Laodicea, that's lukewarm. He either wants you hot or cold. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be hot. He wants us to walk in this day and age to be the thermostat, so that we would influence those around us, that we would not be influenced by those that we rub elbows with. Have you ever had a friend that gives you, you hang out with them, and next thing you know, start acting like them? Maybe in a good way or a positive way? Sometimes it's a negative way. Sometimes we hang out with people that are very wrong to hang out with, and we know that. So why couldn't we be that thermostat to really affect people, to really allow the life of Christ to manifest through us? Why can we not be bold and speak the truth? And Mark 12:31, what does that one say? We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Do you know those two commandments sum up the Ten Commandments? The love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul, that sums up the first four commandments. That means we will not have any other gods before him. He's El Shaddai, he's all-knowing, he's the God who created, he spoke the world into existence. This is the God that we serve. He created you in your mother's womb. That's how personal he knows you. Right? He has a plan and purpose for us. He has a plan and purpose. So if we're wandering around, it's like, what's the will of God? See, ask, seek and knock, and the door will be open. He will show you what the purpose is. Purpose one is to know him, to love him, to worship him, and not to have any other gods before him. The second one, Matthew 28:18-20, maybe somebody can read that. Who wants to read Matthew 28:18-20? Yeah, Matthew 28:18-20. Do you think it's a recommendation, like what God is saying there? It's a command. I think how what we talk about, when we sometimes we think, oh, it's just a recommendation. But a lot of times we see how maybe our theology is incorrect. Maybe how we've been taught is incorrect. It's a command from God. So it's something that we... If you were in the army, I'll use this, and the general said to you, you better do this, or your sergeant, or the major, right? And if you were a private, you had to listen to your higher authority. Now, if you didn't listen to him, what would happen? You would be reprimanded. Right? If you did not listen to your commanding officer, would he say, that's okay, we'll do it next time, chap. You'd be okay. No, he'd probably make you do some burpees. He'd probably make you do be a nice little run with full gear on, what, 50 pounds? His gear, usually 70 pounds, full gear. But God's not that way. He wants his children to obey him. When he says, go and make disciples, he's telling us to go and make disciples. Our children are, we could disciple our children. We could disciple our wives, our husbands, maybe our friends. But we're called to mentor people. The church is supposed to mentor people in the Word of God. We're supposed to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So in Mark 12:30-31, that's what God's commanding us to do. Because if you read the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And sometimes we place our own needs before God. That's a God, a little God. God doesn't want that. He wants him to be first because he is a holy, holy God. You know, and you read in Revelation, it talks about the throne room of God. The elders, 24 elders, and all the creatures there are crying out, holy, holy is God, and they're on their knees. The 24 elders, can you picture this? 24 elders are laying their crowns before the Lord, crying out, holy, holy is he. Sometimes we don't have a holy reverence for God. I think we think he's my buddy. He's my savior, but that's okay. I just, give him a high five, But we don't have a holy reverence for God. And I think that's where the church has fallen so short, that we don't have a holy reverence for God. He is the creator. of the universe. He spoke things into being. He ordained our lives. He has placed us in a race. Hebrews 12:1 talks about we are in a race. I believe he wants to wake us up. Too long has the church been asleep. Too long the church has been like Laodicea, so lukewarm, one foot in the world, one foot in the Bible. And we're riding that rail, knowing that I can enjoy this part of life so good, and I can have my foot on Sunday in this word, but wouldn't he not want you to be hot? Sold out. I think when we're sold out, we will not compromise his word. Because too often we compromise his word. And we give some lame excuse why we compromise his word. I think of James Coates, a man who said, I'm not going to compromise God's word. There's going to be a line that we say, well, we're not going to compromise God's word any longer. We all have to say, what am I not going to do? What line will I not compromise for my faith? Because when people ask you, why do you have such hope? Why are you so at peace with what's happening around right now? What would your answer be? My hope and my faith come from the Lord, who strengthens me, who equips me. I can't do this on my own. Only God could equip us to give us true hope. We have a world that is such in turmoil that they're very hopeless. Mm-hmm. Do you notice how the government is trying to be the savior? Mm-hmm. And how they've been trying to shut down the church point to who the Savior is. The government wants the church. You look at communist China, they're trying to replace God in the Bible for the government. God is the highest authority, not man. That's right. When the government breaks the law of God, we are no longer bound to respect them. That's right. We're supposed to stand up and say, what you're doing is wrong. I was asking my wife this week, I said, do you ever notice, what have we been getting an uprising more about lately? And we're getting more uprising about something that is decisive. But have you noticed we have not stood up for the children that are being aborted, the thousands of children every day being aborted? Has the church stood up for that? Why has not the church stood up for those who are being aborted day in and day out? Millions of children are killed, but nobody stands up. Why don't we stand about sex traits? Why don't we stand up for the marriage? Why don't we stand up against pornography that is wrecking marriages? Why don't we stand up for that? That's the truth. When we stand up for the truth and for marriage, doesn't that bring glory to God? God ordained marriage to be healthy between husband and wife. We think about even how the world is so in love, have a lust for themselves. But we're supposed to take up the cross. We're supposed to die to self. The Lord asks us to pick up our cross and follow him. I think when we follow him, we'll be in the right alignment with him. Because he's going to lead us and guide us where we need to stand up and give us the boldness to share the truth. I know we talk about, this is why it's important for us to mentor one another in the Word of God. I always think about James 1:22. James 1:22 says, do not be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, so that you're not deceived. This is why the church is so deceived today. Because we are just being hearers of the word of God, but never be doing the doers of the word of God. I think of why so many churches are lukewarm. We know, a lot of us have so much theology, and we research it to death, but we never apply what we learn. We don't stand on the word of God. We don't stand in the authority that Christ has given us. Jesus said, all authority God has given him. Do you know when you're a child of God, he gives it to you? Just like a police officer or even like the government gives them authority, they take an oath to stand for the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. They swore an oath to the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So now they've been bestowed all the right, all the authority in the land to arrest people, to uphold the law. Same way Christ has given us the authority to uphold his law, to uphold his truth, to speak the truth. To stand against the attacks of Satan. Do you know we could cast and bind up demonic spirits in people? Do you believe there's even demonic spirits? Because so many of the church doesn't believe there's even a devil. There is a devil. There is demons. There is demons that operate in areas because of why? Witchcraft? Ouija boards? Horoscopes? Occult things? Blood? There's a lot of occult. And that gives Satan an access into our lives and into the church. And that's also a false god. So when we allow that sin to enter the church, is the church effective? No. It's going to be hindered. That's why we need to repent of those things. It's amazing how Satan tries to be like God and tries to entice people to follow him. Second Peter 1:3. Kind of went off track. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. Somebody else could read that. Somebody wants to read that one. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. So his divine power has given us everything for life and godliness. He has given us everything to stand and to withstand Satan. He's given us Ephesians 6, about the armor of God, to put on the full armor of God, to take a stand and withstand the schemes of the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about how Satan of this world, how the prince of this world, because Jesus has not returned, Jesus has not come the second time yet. So Satan still has dominion over this world. He is the prince of this world. And the church is a remnant of God who stands and be the light and the salt that reveals God to this dark world. Satan has blinded, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, Satan has blinded those who do not know him, to know who Jesus is. So he has blinded those from the truth of the gospel. So the will of God is for the church to take a stand and stand in the authority that God has given us to come against demonic spirits, to set people free from bondages, from old lifestyles, to be set free. The word of God sets people free. When it's spoken in the true light, when it's not compromised. Do you know what? I think some of us know some people that have been set free in some areas. We probably have experienced that in our own lives. So I don't think Satan really wants people to be set free from bondage. But God does. God wants his children to be set free from bondages. I shared a few times before, I said, even for myself in the last couple of years, God has set me free from some chains that I never knew I had, that held me back. How Satan had an access into my life that he used to pull and affect me in certain ways. But God could break those chains. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you maybe what bondages you may have. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's how you act and react in certain situations. Maybe there's some things that you do that you're like, wow, I can't believe I actually do that. Sometimes it's a generational thing, a generational curse that might have to be broken off. The battle we fight is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle we're fighting in. Just like Crean said this morning, we are in a battle. I don't think God would give us equipment to put on every day, like the armor of God. To give us a helmet, to give us a breastplate, actually put on the truth of the loins, like the belt, like the girdle, right? Which holds everything together. Those are weapons for battle. The church has think, oh, we're just full of love. We don't have to battle anyway. We're just a bunch of hippies hugging and kissing it out. But we're not. We are in a battle. God is equipping the church for a battle. And he's waking the church to know that what he has commanded the church to do is what he expects the church to be doing. Not putting it off. Not saying, Lord, I'm not going to do it till when I feel like it. Because God does reprimand his children. The armor of God is for pressing in and taking a stand against the schemes of the enemy. You think of the shield will cover almost top of the guy's head down to his feet. It's full protection. You think about the sword. You think about everything that he has given us. And he says, take captive of every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's what the helmet does. And that's what happens when we start reading the Word of God. We are taking old habits and filling our minds with the Word of God so that we would know what the truth is, to expose every lie that Satan has been saying to you for over these years. Satan tells lies. God tells the truth. And so often it's easier to believe a lie than the truth. How many know that is true? I tell that to my children. I tell them the truth. And sometimes they don't like receiving it. Let's turn to 2 Kings. I'll finish with this. Second Kings. So it's in the Old Testament. It's after 1 Kings. So who would want? I like kind of interaction with people. I don't want to be always talking. Because I think if we read the Word of God out loud, somebody else, you might hear it a little better than from me. So who would want to read 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 11? 1 to 11. Yeah. Okay.
Appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
Amen. What spoke to you? What stood out to you in that, in those 11 verses? What spoke out? Do you what is there anything that kind of stood out to you? Yeah. But what was...
Elisha's perseverance.
Yeah. If it wasn't for Elisha's perseverance, pressing in, he would not have gotten the double portion. Mm-hmm. You know, Elijah said, you know what, just stay here. You stay here. But Elisha said, no, I don't want to. I want to keep traveling with you. Because the different places, they have meanings. We won't get into it because of the time. But each place that he went to had a meaning. But he was telling Elisha, just stay, you know. But Elisha's like, no, Elijah, I want to follow you. I'm going to keep my eyes on you, and I'm going to follow you. No matter what happens, no matter where God leads you, I'm going to follow you. Do you notice that three times he asked him, just stay here. And three times he says, no, I'm going to press in. He loved his mentor. Do you know Jesus is our mentor? When we press in, we will see great things. Even though when Jesus is leading us by his Spirit to say, go here, go there, sometimes we're a little reluctant. We say, well, I don't know, Lord. I don't think I'm able to. But as we read, he has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. He's given us all things. So he has equipped us. But we need to step out in faith and a trust in him, because he has given us all things necessary. All things. He's equipping us. But we can read that, but we need to put it into action. To step out. To say, Lord, I know all this head knowledge, but let it be coming out of my heart to really to trust you. How persistent are we? How persistent are we with the Lord? Are we asking, seeking, and knocking at his door? Are we saying, Lord, I desire to know you. Lord, I desire to know, to have godly wisdom, to know how to navigate in this world today? Are we asking, Lord, for the strength and the boldness that we need every day? The Lord is able to give us the measure that we need every day. But he's asking his children, seek, ask, and knock. Seek. It's an action. It's all actions. God will not just give you it by osmosis. He's not going to... If you could just have your Bible sitting over here, and you're sitting here, and you don't open it, how can you even know what's in here? Unless you open it and ask God for wisdom. How can we not know what the Word of God is, or the will of God is, if we do not take that step of faith to apply what he's given us? You know, God equips us for service. We just have to follow the Master's footsteps. Do you know that we didn't choose God? We didn't choose Jesus. That's totally different from every other rabbi in that time. To tell me, had to go and seek out the rabbi. And he had to prove how much of the Tanakh and Torah he knew and be able to debate it. Jesus came to those who didn't even seek him. And he brought them to himself. Ruth 1:16 says, says, wherever you go, I will go. Ruth 1:16 says, wherever you go, I will go. Lord Jesus, wherever you lead me, I will go. You know, there are many times that we want to quit. There's always opportunities to quit. Elijah gave Elisha plenty of chances to quit. Jesus told his disciples to take up their cross daily and to follow him. So we must also follow our master's footsteps. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Matthew 6:33, yeah. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you." There's a proper order to everything. We have to be asking God and seeking him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Prosperity gospel goes out the window right there. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God. Have him as... Love him with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Just the whole, all of you. Seek him first. Keep pressing in. If we want to really to be used by God, then we absolutely must get our priorities right. What are our priorities in this life? God says it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then all other things will be added onto you. The right order. The proper order. God first. God's always first. No matter what, God is first. Because like I said, we all will give an account onto God when we meet him. We all will give a personal account to him. There's no getting around it. We will give an account. Non-believer and believer will give an account. We will not experience God's power in our lives if we don't get that right, nor in the church. So let's not lose focus on what matters. You know, broken focus is anything that has power, directly or indirectly, that takes you away from the place where God wants you. Have you ever lose your focus? Sometimes we lose our focus more often than others. But God wants us to have focus. And he will give us focus. Satan wants us to be distracted, to lose focus. And like I shared, this is why the church is so... It's an atrocity to God. It's a blasphemy to his name for how the church is divided. So during this time, don't lose your focus. Keep your eyes on the heavenly treasure, and that's our Lord. So we do not know the day and the hour that our Lord will return. But you know, when Elisha said, "I want a double portion," if he never pressed in, he would never have received it. He had to keep his eyes on the Lord. He had to keep his eyes on Elijah the whole time. Because that was one of the things. He had to keep his eye on Elijah the whole time in order to get that blessing. And when he asked for a double blessing, is because it's in the Judeo, a father blesses his son, he always prays a double blessing. It wasn't to get more richer or a double thing. That's how God does. God gives us a double blessing. He gives us over more than we could ever ask for. That's what I meant by a double blessing. He wasn't asking anything out of contrary to the word of God because it was owed. God gives us a double blessing. He blesses us when we are in right stand, when we keep our eyes on him, when we fix our eyes on him. There's a double blessing in that. Elisha never asked for any more than what was owed to him. My hope is that we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. because we don't know the day or the hour of his return. Only our Heavenly Father knows that. And I love how we're living biblical prophecy is being fulfilled in front of our eyes. The Ezekiel 38 war needs to take place. Damascus needs to be destroyed. That's another Bible prophecy. Those two are the next ones who will be fulfilled. Do you know the church is not here when the Antichrist comes? Do you know that? So we have no worry about taking on the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast only comes when the Antichrist is here. The church is gone. There's so many things that I pray that the church, we would wake up. Because if you believe that we go through and hear for those times of judgment, no father will allow his kids to go through judgment. He would not even allow his bride to go through judgment. He's judging the people who do not know him. So how can we have, if we think that we go through judgment, how can we have joy? How can we be expecting for our Redeemer to come? Yeah. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would awaken us. As we prayed, we sung this morning, Lord, that you would revive us. Lord Jesus, revive the church. Revive us individually, Lord. Lord, that you would reveal things in our lives that need to be dealt with. Lord, I pray that you would search us out. Search me, O Lord. Know if there's any anxious or anything in my heart or in me that is offensive to you, Lord. Lord, let us be on our knees pressing in and desiring to know you more and more all the time. Lord, let you be first in our lives. Father, we repent of having other things higher than you. I pray, Lord, that we would place you in the highest authority in our lives. Lord, that we surrender all to you. Lord, we desire to know you so intimately. Lord, that we receive such a blessing. And that blessing is you, Lord Jesus, that gives us the hope and the strength and the power and the ability to be joyful in this time. That we can be excited for what we are seeing is happening. But on the same side, pray, Lord, that you'll give us a heart for the lost. Lord, that we would proclaim the gospel of Christ, the only way for salvation, the only way for redemption. I pray, Lord, that we would speak the truth to our friends and family who do not know you yet. And I thank you, Lord, that you are working on their hearts. And Lord, we take a stand, as in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, we come against the schemes of the enemy who's blinding those who do not know the gospel. Lord, we stand in the gap for those people. We pray, Lord, that you would take that blindness off their eyes of their hearts, that they will be able to see the truth of the gospel. Lord, that we will be able to speak the truth of the word to them. Father, you would use us. Lord, let us be your laborers in this field. Lord, we thank you that you are preparing the body of Christ to rise up and come alive to be hot for you. Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in our lives. Lord, let us not forget who you are. Let us, if we can remember anything today, Lord, I pray that we would continue to press in and not to give up. And continue to look to you and to depend on you, Lord. So, Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if anybody wants prayer. We always offer prayer. I don't know if you guys have a song at the